Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Hello, Rhema Remnant Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign, host of Spiritual Talk Radio. Coming in briefly here on Rhema Remnant Radio, on behalf of our founder and host of Rhema Remnant Radio, Reverend LaVon Breland. Quickly, I would like to give some announcements. Ministers, our Ministers Fellowship, the first of 2011, will be in April. Yes, in April. The first fellowship of the year 2011 will be in April. So prepare your heart, I'll let your secretaries know, admins know concerning the fellowship coming up so you can prep as far as your travel and all of that for the fellowship. Details will be coming very soon to this broadcast, also on our website and our social networks. So stay tuned for those details. Our fellowships last year were a blessing to those who were in attendance, and we are still getting feedback concerning that, so we praise God for that and look forward to the fellowships of this year and the many events that we will have here at Urban Glory. Also, very, very, very important and somewhat new announcement, all Rhema Remnant Radio listeners, whether you're new, whether you're veterans have listened to this broadcast since the inception in 2007. We want you to contact us and give special shout-outs concerning the broadcast, give your compliments, testimonials, all of that concerning this broadcast, but specifically your questions. Any questions that you have concerning ministry, whether it's administration, flavor, or if it's used, concerning the actual practical of sermonic presentation, teaching, preaching, all of that. Those questions, submit them virtually on our voicemail system at 202-630-4UGC. 202-630-4UGC, and 4UGC, of course, is the number is 4842. So call that number, give your shout-outs, your questions, comments, all of those, and we will attend to them. And as you're leaving your messages, indicate whether or not you would like them to be aired as far as your questions, for particularly for this broadcast. Indicate whether or not you would like them to be aired, and we will handle them as such. Also, for those of you who are listening and would like to like us to agree with you concerning anything in prayer, leave your prayer request on that same line, and Ministry Representative will make sure we receive that information, and we will pray for you and come to agreement. And leave your contact information if you would like for us to contact you directly for agreement. Also, those of you who have been seeking the Lord, have been even thinking about locking on with the ministry as far as contributing either your finances, your time, any resources, any connections, what have you, Urban Glory is a ministry of integrity, as you have seen, if you've listened long enough on our radio broadcast or watched any of our video clips or seen us anywhere live, you know this ministry is a ministry of integrity and that we are very high-tech, and we not only love God and love God's people, but respect God's people and their time. So we have a all-hands-on-deck type of policy where everyone puts in their particular assigned contribution as far as projects and time, and we keep a tight communication system so that we can be as effective as possible and productive as possible. Contact us if you would like to be involved. We'll give you details on how you can get involved, and we'll go from there. Now we will give the mic over to Reverend Breland, the host of Rhema Remnant Radio broadcast. We have reached to almost 15,000 listeners, so we are grateful for all of you who are listening internationally, nationally. We praise God for you. Keep listening to Rhema Remnant Radio. We'll be bringing you variety in our broadcasts more and more, and we know that you will be edified. We would love to hear about how you're edified, your testimonials, and comments, so give us a call. Here is Reverend Breland.
Well, good evening, radio listeners. Thank you for listening again tonight. We are truly going to another level in ministry and in life. And, you know, tonight we've dedicated Sundays. We kind of made some changes. I've been doing a lot of ministry teaching, and we still are on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I wanted to, a part of our vision statement, as you understand, every time you listen to the broadcast, we play our vision statement, and part of it is developing a culture of leadership. And so we get dedicated Sunday evenings. I said, well, we've already been to church, so you should have heard the word, and those who are Christians consistently attend a place of worship. So in this time, on Sunday evenings, I want to deal with leadership and deal with various teachings for business leaders and a whole other community. We're embracing a Christian community of leaders in corporate America and small business agendas and endeavors and various things. So tonight's lessons are dedicated for that very thing. Amen. So I'm clear on what we're doing. We got two more segments on defining new dynamics. And we talked about strategic success and dynamic planning. Strategic success and dynamic planning. Now, tonight, I'm going to get a little more systematic with you. I'm going to talk on some more skills. We're going to build off from where we started last week. Give you a quick review. We talked about strategic concepts to define strategic success. And we said that success is a byproduct of a strategy that is inspired, impacted, and implemented by committed system standards and sets of systematic creators that have mastered the art of excellence in a given matter. We said also that strategic planning must be seen in perspective as a manifestation of the spirit-driven believer achieving God's will. And then we also said that synchronizing to success comes through power planning skills, seed plot potentials for promotion. And then we challenged us to learn that success comes from skills, and skills come from secret investments and investments to excellence observed by creators and creations. And then we gave five key words to superior planning: systematic regimentation, special time spanning, standardized responses, synchronized flowing through follow through, and syncopated resolves and resolutions. Then we said we would set up a system for planning, which is the first step toward our outcome of assured success. Then in the second segment of that teaching, we gave you three insights to planning. And from there, we then discussed, after those three things, how we could resolve ourselves by giving us 5 G's for great planning, which was goal setting, globalized thinking, I believe we're in group experts, generating change, and the grace factor that's on Christians. We gave you 5 key things that activate the plan. Of course, we said values, beliefs, expectations, attitudes, and actions. And then we gave you 5 facts of effective planning: organization, technology, competence, partnership, and excellence. And tonight we're going to kind of empower that by developing dynamic planning. Now, let me pray, because we are believers. And no matter how much strategies we implement in this strategic type of conversation, we still want God to be involved, just as he would with the ministry. Now, the reason why I wanted to expand our audience to a whole other group of people is because you may never preach on a pulpit, but you can definitely empower the platform that is proclaimed through the gospel of Jesus Christ by establishing an excellence in whatever you do that expands the kingdom of our Lord on earth as it is in heaven. So we're still defining new dynamics through strategic success and planning. And tonight we have 2 segments called developing dynamic planning and then defining this dynamic through strategies of dynamic planning, 5 ways to transform our planning skills. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you, Lord, for a new community in this Rhema Remnant Radio, and that is the business community, those that are about the Father's business. For it is that body in union with those who have been called to empower the church through the fivefold ministry, that when they come together, your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that throughout this dialogue, specifically on Sundays, that the Rhema word would be evident, not only in scriptural exegeting of texts and of the sacred text, but, Father, I pray that the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit would transform this voice and this articulation of speech and deliberation, of subjectivity, of continuity, of thoughts and concepts and strategies. Father, I pray that it would come under the order of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost would then begin to serve as a teacher tonight, giving us supernatural strategies to success in business. Father, I pray that that same power that causes the anointing to flow when I minister the word of God through the scriptures, that it would be so evident tonight in our dialogue, that, Father, that your son Jesus would be glorified and another would be glorified. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. I trust you as the educator and guide tonight to do what only you can do. And Father, in everything you be glorified, in the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed, it is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. One of the new major themes of this year is really transformed in the glory of transition. transform in the glory of transition. And that's kind of my thread, if you will, the supernatural thread. I talked about it last year in the minister's training on this program about a thread. And the thread is not necessarily seen, but it is very much so the underlining force that keeps and maintains the structure of the subjects that we have. And transformation and transition is our focus. And the way we do that is by developing the teaching around how do we focus on transitioning the way God intends for us to transition so we can transform this world into the kingdom of God. And the way we do that is we embrace the various cultures and bring it to the conformity of Christ. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus was not only set to just empower a people to worship, but it was empowered to give people a holistic approach to a world that is under the order of God. And that order of God transforms us and transitions us from this world into the kingdom of our dear Lord. And so the purpose of this teaching is to define new dynamics. What new dynamics do we need? We brought a new facet of teaching into our organization, into this program that has been on since 2007, preaching from ministers, giving the word of God. What are we doing? We have to start by defining a new dynamic. And the way we're doing is developing strategic success in dynamic planning. Because, see, if you don't have a plan, the scripture tells you quickly in Habakkuk to write the vision and make it plain that he that reads it could run thereby. And so that's really the main focus of this thing, that if you don't write this vision and make it plain, people can't run with what you don't write. They have to see a vision. And so it helps the pastoral world, if you will, by reminding us of principles that coexist with our passion of the scripture. And then it also helps for those that are in the world that are not preachers or not planning to be preachers, that can then also dialogue with us and see how you can actually benefit your church beyond just attending services. And so this teaching is necessary. The goal is to explore steps in advancing Christian endeavors in corporate America that establishes opportunities of solid economic forces in global markets for the kingdom advancement. The goal is to highlight strategic planning tools and concepts that confidently secure consistent streams of success in putting divine ideas into constant motion. And the objective is to motivate Christians to communities and advance in planning for success we all desire and in the diverse communities that we live and seek after. So the way that's going to be done is we're going to have to put some things in motion. And tonight we want to talk about simply how do we, as believers, how do we develop dynamic planning? Because a lot of times, you know, when you go to a lot of business seminars, have you ever been to a seminar where it sounded so good and you got so pumped, but they really didn't give you no applicable things to you to where you can set these things up? And often I find that in a lot of those mediums, you get these ideas, but then nobody talks about the startup costs. And so this type of program will help you because, see, I'm going to give you three different dynamics. I'm going to give you the strategic dynamic for the kingdom advantage. Then I'm going to give you the systematic advantage from the spirit advantage. And then I want to give you the practical dynamic that brings this spiritual talking with strategic talking into commonality, into everyday use. And so tonight you ain't going to miss out. You're not going to mess up, because I believe it don't get any simpler than this. If you are disorganized, you cannot function effectively in order. And we know that God does everything in decency and in order, so the greatest distinction of you being led by his spirit and you being in sync with his will is exemplifying his order. And godliness is a trait of every Christian, and that means that they have accustomed themselves in the presence of God so they can reflect the order of God on a consistent basis. But what I find is we don't have enough people really developing that type of mentality, glory to God, for the sake of everyday life. We've learned how to talk good things to get us over, but God's goal is not to just get us over. It's for us to rule and to reign as he would in this earth, because as Jesus is, the scripture says, so are we in this world. And so many of you go to work every day not knowing that you're in God's will. And perhaps a lot of the dilemmas and the setbacks we have is because we have not involved God in our business endeavors, and we've done things to make ends meet when ends were never supposed to meet. We've done things to make things stretch when it was supposed to say set. And that mentality of survival of the fittest has kept us from true success, because what we have struggled for could have been given to us if we heeded to the voice of God. And so business leaders and preachers, how much of you, if you're truly led by the Spirit, the scripture says you will not be succumbed to the dictates of the flesh. And if anyone needs to be led by the Spirit, is those of the driving forces of the economy. And the driving forces of the economy is the political engine. It's the public platforms that are through entertainment that is going on. And believe it or not, it's corporate America. Corporate America stimulates the economy. If people have jobs, the economy is stimulated. If they lose jobs, the economy is deflated. Why? Because the money is not in circulation. It's not in motion. And one of the deceits is stinginess. And we need to be able to talk about money just as much as we talk about the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that we saw with the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as he walked and as he communicated to people, you saw that he was involved in a lot of stuff. He was involved in business development. He had people that were creative, that were successful in business around him. He was able to give strategies and the supernatural. He was able to meet the needs of the people. He was a communicator, savior. And if we were to reflect on some of his habits and to really know some of the things that he did, we would have confidence, glory to God, to really exemplify Christianity and show how it's pivotal for the success and the change that corporate America seeks. And corporate America must be invaded with Christian ethics in order to survive in the challenging times. Tonight I want to talk about developing dynamic planning. Let me give you three starting points. Number one is new dynamics awaken from new approaches, and new approaches are developed through new observances, and new observances and observation require skillful critiques. Let me say that one more time soon. That really hits home to where I'm going with it. New dynamics awaken from new approaches. New approaches are developed through new observances. Observation requires skillful critique. And we have to do things in a different way to get a different result. And Christians need to be seen in every dynamic, the political engine, the professional field, the public entertainment sector, and this corporate America. We got to see Christ in corporate America. We got to see Christ in corporate America, and it's not going to be done by just sharing a religious statement. It's going to be felt in the conviction of our faith through our work ethics and efforts, and engaging the corporate culture with the supernatural power of God. Now, if you could get into the natural, then you would just be normal. But God demands that we be superior to the norm, and the way we do it, we go back to awaken this intellect, and I want to be careful about intellectual God, because, you know, we make it seem like being intelligent in the church is almost a sin. because of faith. And faith blind of intelligence is ignorant. Let me say that one more time so you get it. Faith, and the reason why I say that so strong is because I hear a lot of preachers now preaching that it don't make sense. Well, God created sense. And if God cannot convey to you an intelligent, systematic flow, you need to check your hearing. God said he sets plain paths before your feet because he already knows. You can't even see him. Lord knows, why would he be confusing if you can't see him with the way he speaks to you? And a lot of times people haven't given themselves time to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, this ain't on my notes. You might as well get it while you got it. But a lot of times people have problems with hearing the Lord because they have not approached him in the manner in which he said you should approach him. And the life of the of Christ demands that we engage the mind into transforming our thoughts and our talk in conformity to the truth that we that Christ has brought through his spirit. And so you can't be void of intellectual empowerment. God can engage and transform your thinking without it just coming through some stupid way. It doesn't have to, you know, he used the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. I know the scripture says that, but that's not the only method in which he communicates to people. Sometimes he can speak directly to you and transform your whole agenda. And because you want him to do some magic show, you're wasting your focus. When God can illuminate your mind and cause your mind. I was laughing with a preacher the other day, a true prophet of God, and I said, you know, God changed my reading pattern. He showed me that the pattern of my reading was wrong. And as I began to transform my reading pattern, then I could articulate what I was thinking clearer because I changed the way I study. I engaged the intellect of the Holy Spirit in my daily practices of seeking God, and I found out that God could speak to me intelligently through the scriptures and that he could work through and work with me to transform my mind. Because, see, if I let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ, that's an intellectual empowerment. He said that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, where's your soul prosperity coming from? That mind that is in Christ Jesus. That thought is not robbery. Glory to God. But that's another lesson. So new dynamics awaken for new approaches. New approaches develop through new observances, and new observances require skillful critique. The second point I want to give you tonight is when the term develop comes into play, it demands at least five clear functions to achieve a dynamic impact. Number one is it requires a strong knowledge base. Now, I know, see, the church ain't going to talk about this because we make it seem like that it just presto, it comes. It don't come like that. You got to work for this thing. The scripture says all hard work, well, the scripture doesn't say, but the principle is all hard work brings a profit. Actually, the scripture does say that. So it demands a strong knowledge base. People are not destroyed because of lack of spirit, nor because of a lack of charisma, but because of a lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, they present and they produce a perpetual ignorance. Number two is statistical analysis. Statistical analysis is nothing but an observance on cultures, tendencies, trends, and techniques that work or that are prevalent in current times. And then skill setting standards. And then fourthly, standardized communication. Most of us don't know that, standardized communication. That demands there be structure in the way you communicate certain things. Now, I was talking to a gentleman on Saturday when I was going on a conference, and I was talking to them before, and I was talking to them. They wanted to ask me some questions. I told them I was a Bible teacher, and been teaching the Word for a long time, which I have. And they said they had some questions about God, and I said, you know, when I was talking to them, I realized, and where we were at, we were in a church setting, so I realize even because I have a structured, standardized communication, I realize how much I can go in depth because of the environment that I was in. See, that wasn't the time to really indulge into biblical studying with someone in an audience of other people where that was where I was not the facilitator of that event. So I asked the brother, I said, well, how did you get to this church? I said, because a lot of the questions that you have can be answered when you go through this program in this church. Now, I could have answered his questions clearly, but my communication demanded me to be silenced at that point. That in this environment, this was not my classroom. This was not my platform. I was coming to for a personal empowerment training session for myself. So I'm a student here, not the teacher. You need to get involved with the teacher here. Since somehow you got here to get that information. And if by chance we meet in another environment, then I could communicate at the way that he wanted. But there I had structure to my communication. So I plugged them back into the environment that I was at because that's what that communication demanded. And then from there, standardized communication number five is strategic introspection and review. See, you can only get standards and skill setting and statistical analysis and strong knowledge basis through reviewing your courses of action. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. And the third point tonight that I want to give you is the key to developing an effective plan is developing outstanding observant skills through critical thinking. And you have to engage critical thinking through the courage and the character of Christ Jesus as a Christian. See, Christ was able to challenge critically the theology and the cultural standards of that time because he observed those things. He observed the scriptures. He found in the scripture where it was written, the scripture says. And so we see him able to be a savior for that culture because of his observance on that culture. Jesus was very much so involved in the intellectual pursuits of that culture's day. He was in a respected field. He was a rabbi. They called him a rabbi for a reason because he was trained with the rabbis. They wouldn't just give him that title. Yeah, you know, people don't get that. They wouldn't come to him like, we weren't at your prophet and the rabbi if that wasn't a respected field. And the problem now with the church is not a respected field because we've got a lot of ignorant people in positions that are not necessarily, and I'm not talking about secular education. I'm talking about spiritually educated, focused individuals that are set on achieving a standard of godliness, which goes beyond the norm. Amen. Okay, let's hurry on for the lesson's sake tonight. Five ingredients to an environment conducive for effective planning. These are ingredients. Number one, a culture of discipline. A culture of discipline. Discipline demands a focused organizational environment. You know, when we say a culture of discipline, that means everything that shapes your environment is based on the discipline that you have in your life. Okay. And then discipline is a creative art to function in a plan in planning. It's a step by step system to achieve desired goals, step by step. The second ingredient for effective planning is a consideration for effective time management. So time management is a discipline that focuses the achiever to achieve goals through effective prioritization. Meaning they know how to say this is more important right now at this time. Time management teaches the individual how much time goes to them achieving their goals. Time management is a teacher. The more and more you learn how to manage your time, the better you will be. Amen. And thirdly, the ingredients so far is a culture of discipline, a consideration of effective time management. The third one is a creative approach to simplifying complexities. A creative approach to simplifying complexities. And planning awakens when you engage the mind in simplifying your actions. You know, I find that a lot of times we get so complex that everything is complex that you can't even function. You got to know how to function. And planning awakens that when you have creative approaches to simplifying complexities. And in order to simplify complexities, you have to master the art of focus. You got to be focused. So you'll hear me talk about creativity, discipline, and focus all the time throughout planning. Time management, all of that works in conjunction with that. Now, the fourth thing for this first segment, we talked about a culture of discipline, consideration to effective planning, a creative approach to simplifying complexities, and fourthly, a competitive margin of excellence. See, excellence is our let me give you what I wrote in my notes. I think it's powerful. Excellence is a distinctive mark of Christians in the workplace. That's how you can tell. Now, I know I kind of have a favoritism of this example because of obvious reasons, but my mother, one of the things that I found was effective when she was working at in a secular field at the time that she was working in a secular field, one of the things that made her stand out was her excellent work ethic. Now, I come from a background of hard workers. My grandmother was a hard worker. My aunt was a hard worker, is a hard worker, and both of them are hard workers. My grandmother retired, but she was a hard worker on my mother's side. I mean, she's my mother's side. I've got my father's side, too. I'll go to that in a few minutes. But on my mother's side, my grandmother was a hard worker. She was a very hard worker, and she was known for her order and for her compassion, Helen G. Del Brio. My great-grandmother was a hard worker. She was a skillful worker, a compassionate arm. I call her the creative manifestation of the Holy Ghost. I often saw the Holy Spirit at work in her life. But my grandmother in particular, Helen Breland, she was a very orderly person, very consistent. When I was in college and I lived in Florida for a little bit, she took me to college every day. At the same time, she showed up right on time. If she said she was going to be there at 10:30, for example, she would be there at 10:27 and get upset if you walked out at 10:32. That was one thing I knew about. So I come from an environment of that type of order. I mean, from a child. I mean, she's very systematic. She still is systematic. She's a little more lax now because she's just enjoying life. But that's one thing I remember about my grandmother, Helen, and she's still alive, so she's doing well. But that's one distinctive mark that I remember with her working. She was very consistent. She was very time management, but she was known for her excellence in the church, in her career, and in her personal life. She was excellent. She loved to dress a certain way. She's still known for how beautiful she is. She was a fox when she was a young lady. She's known. And then my mother was known in the workplace, corporate America, which I saw because I worked for my mother at one time. That she was known for her excellence in her behavior in the workplace. And so people trusted her Christianity because of her excellent work. And I pause there because our competitive margin is our excellence. And excellence is one of the strongest characteristics of God, of our Father God in heaven. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I can give you several scriptures that define the excellence, but we have to go on for time's sake. Excellence is the act to establish a habit of godliness in business affairs. Not just a communication or an articulation of godliness, but a habit. Meaning that godliness can be seen in what you do before what you say. Amen. So then, after the culture of discipline, the consideration of effective time management, the creative approach to simplifying complexity, and the competitive margin of excellence, fifthly, finally, on this segment, a confrontation of brutal facts with transformative truths. A confrontation of brutal facts with transformative truths. See, confronting inner matters demands systematic solutions. It's not just confronting issues saying we got a problem, but it's actually coming up with a solution. And your planning should exemplify your solution orientation. Those of you who have access to downloading on the internet, 2 years ago we did an institute called the Leadership Institute, and I tell you, the teaching is on there right now. It's just your loss if you don't get it. But there is a teaching out there on the Leadership Institute that I talk about strategic planning. And it goes in concert with this series on defining new dynamics. Your planning starts the platform of dynamic excellence. And we're going to talk about that. But your planning begins that. Because, see, what I'm talking about, and even in the nature of this communication, I am very cognitive and conscious of how pivotal this dialogue has to be communicated. See, I'm giving a simple, now I can go straight into economy and deal with finances. I can go straight into visionary thinking and go into establishing business regimen. But the Lord told me to engage your mind with planning for your success. And most people don't do. They want to be successful, and they come up with a good idea, and they jump at the idea without having an order already set in place. And dynamics demand discipline before to be seen before you have a degree of change. So you want that degree of change to take place without the habit of discipline. And the habit of discipline can only be to the degree of the dynamic particles that you have in effect in your life. So if you don't have planning skills in your life, and we talk about awakening yourself to new concepts, and you don't have any discipline set forth through planning, you're not going to be able to come up to the plate when it comes time to manifest what you believe in. That's what's happening in the church. We're not planning for the success that we see. We're just playing church. But my challenge to you, you're going to be the church, be it all the way, or don't be it at all. If you're going to be the church in the workplace as well as in the pew. Glory to God. So a confrontation with brutal facts will transform the truth. Confronting any matters demands systematic solution. Brutal facts doesn't stifle creativity, but it challenges focus to have creative ways to achieve success over struggles. So we have to have a confrontation of brutal facts by dealing with the facts with transformative truths. And you know who helped us with that? Jesus. Now let me give you five quick things that should empower your planning skills. And they're very simple. Number one, clean consistently. Clean everything consistently. Always be clean. Don't keep a dirty environment around you. Clean. Clean. Clean consistently. Number two, consistently read on organizational skill development. Number three, conserve for excellence sake. Now, I don't mean just conserve, but conserve for excellence sake. And, of course, you know God's reputation is excellent. If you're excellent for the sake of God, then you get yourself in order. You do things so that God can be glorified. Number four, challenge mediocrity. Challenge mediocrity. And number five, creatively communicate necessary change. So you got to be able to communicate that creativity. Amen. And so in the fourth segment of this teaching, let's go on for time's sake. Let me check my time. Okay, we're doing pretty good on time. Glory to God. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. All right, for this next segment, we want to talk about the transformation, you know, empowering transformation through planning, through awakening planning skills. Now, this is going to get a little more simpler than what we've already discussed. Let's begin with these five ways to transform our planning skills. And I enjoyed the lessons tonight, and I encourage you to download this. It's just too much to put. But before we go to that, of course, you know, we talked about success, and I'll give you right quick. Five goals, goals executives set through the standard of excellence, because when we talk about planning, we want to, and because I'm going to give you some clear, and if you haven't taken notes so far, you really want to take notes on this segment right here, because this will help put your planning in motion, especially those last five things that I gave you. I'll give it to you again right quick. Clean consistently, constantly read on organizational things, conserve for excellence, challenge mediocrity, creatively communicate necessity of change. That's good, but let me give you five goals executives set through the standard of excellence. Number one is a creative environment that creates success. And that's why we started off with success planning. We talk about really being in charge, because, see, a lot of Christians are desire to be in charge, but they don't know what it takes to be in charge. And the first thing is a creative environment that creates success. And number two, a core team that gets small tasks done. Number three, a challenge that gives a display of critical thinking. Now, see, I have all these principles. You should see, I really need to create a book on this, on a probably, I guess we will. But I tell you, I've had some of these things, and I've seen this at work in this ministry. We have a small core team, but the team gets so much done, and only a fragment of the team gets the majority of the work done, and it doesn't take that much to get stuff done. But when greatness is not seen in the team, it doesn't work. And you cannot effectively do a business on your own. Let me say that again. You cannot do a business, a successful business on your own. Self-empowerment is a delusion. It requires a team to empower you. Selfishness is the quickest way to fail you. Selflessness is the quickest way to empowerment. We see that through the life of Jesus, and we need to remember that. A core team that gets small tasks done, as a number three, a challenge that gives the display of critical thinking, and then number four, a channel that brings in streams of resources, and then five, a culture that repeats their success through repetition. Amen. Well, that was just an appetizer. Let's get into these five ways of transforming our skills, because I want to make this applicable to every day. And, of course, you know, those five things I gave you about cleaning and constantly reading, conserving for excellence, challenging mediocrity, and creatively communicating necessities to change, that'll wake you up. But this part will really give a little strategic map for us. And the first thing is translate your actions with a scripted action plan. Translate your actions with a scripted, meaning written out action plan. Number one is simple as get a calendar and write fixed and potential activities. That's where it begins. Get a calendar and write down what you do and how you do it. I found that the success in the organization that I have is writing down exactly what we do. And see, if we write it down, then we can give it to someone and they can repeat it at will and create the same success. Amen. So get a calendar and write fixed potential activities. That's number one. Number two Master the art of keeping track of your actions by giving a realistic amount of tasks you can complete each day, each month, or each week and each month and each year. So don't give your, if you know throughout a day you can only do three things, don't give yourself seven things to do in one day. Now, every once in a while you might want to add one on until you can do about six to seven things a day. But don't give yourself so much. You create your failure by being unrealistic. And a lot of this stuff is really being honest with yourself and learning where you messed up. You know, because I find some people, they go to, you know, you give them, you know, strategies to try to master this, and they haven't really defined what they can do and what they can't do. And anybody that comes to Urban Glory, that's the first thing that I'm going to ask you, what can you do? You know, what? How much time are you really given? Amen. Now, I got a little ambition and motives behind this teaching, too. This helps me give information to my staff of what I expect. If they listen to these principles in conjunction with those other principles that I don't release on the air, they could translate their lives. So you got to get a calendar, master the art of keeping track, and add creative technologies to simplify your life. Okay, that's the first thing. Translate your actions with a scripted plan of action. You got to master the art of writing. Now, I want to give honor where honor is due. I learned this through my former pastor, Dr. Joseph A. Mills of Agape Embassy Ministry. Very rarely do I give names of people who I honor, but he is, for me, was the model of an excellent pastor, an excellent preacher, through how he did what he did. Now, he might not have had the best approaches to everything, but the brother was consistent, he was sharp, and he modeled for me how to put things on paper. Now, a lot of times, you know, I know a lot of preachers that say they do a lot of things for people, but see, I was in his office when he taught me how to organize my paper, of how to write an effective paper. He didn't only, when I took a class with him, he didn't only mark it down, but he showed me how to write in a way that was clearly bringing forth the objective that was instructed by the material that I was working with. And so I didn't hear him just say, I'm a good pastor. He showed us how he did what he did to the best of his ability. And I've seen the success. It's so funny. I love going back to, every once in a while I go back to the places, but I go back to his church and there's a new congregation there. And see, I love when someone comes to me and asks me if I'm a visitor, because I always say, I'm the reason why you can sit in the true pews that you sit in. I mean, that's just me. I know, I mean, there's other factors to it. But we were there at the beginning when there was no pews, when there was a Roach Motel. And seeing that master plan come into play and translate the quality of that ministry was just phenomenal. But I tell you, the lack of preachers that really show doing what they do, they tell people they can get what they have because they are connected to them, but they don't know how they don't show their people how they really got there. It's just a travesty. It's just as terrible as the lottery. A lot of people place millions of dollars in there and quadruple the economy of the lottery system. And maybe every once or twice a year does someone actually get a piece of pie. It's like a lottery system of faith. It's terrible. So translate your actions with a scripted plan of action. And I do honor Dr. Mills. I'm honored that I've served. I know I've come from under his teaching, and I'm just honored to know him. And I'm just really, really after taking introspection of some things, I am proud to say that I was a member under that great man of God. You know, you don't, sometimes when you're in the presence of people, you don't realize how much they add to your life until after you go. And I tell you, you need to observe in your life who has really helped you with some things and how it's helping you exist now. And you'll be amazed at who's really been teaching you. You really would. The second thing is to take time to learn the art of planning and update your techniques periodically. The first one was translate your scripted action plan translate your actions with a scripted action plan. The second one is take time to learn the art of planning and update your techniques periodically. See, and you know, the era that we live in demands that you have a certain amount of cognitive development to maintain a competitive edge, because before jobs used to train you, now they just expect you to know. And because of the technology that is out there today, you don't have no excuse for not knowing. And what I'm trying to change, not necessarily change the church, but I'm trying to challenge the church to at least, at the very least, come up to the bar where we excel over the world. My God, we got Jesus on our side. Some are so far behind. I mean, for instance, this is common as your tape ministry. Why are you still on cassette tape? Why are you still selling them things? The world is MP3 land, and you still on CDs. Praise the Lord. That's a waste of space. Oh, the church got to grow, y'all. So we got to take classes on how to make the best use of our time. That's number one. Got to take classes because planning is getting the most out of your time that you have. Scripture says it like this. Apostle Betty taught us this. She said, Lord, teach us how to number our days. Of course, she was quoting from Ecclesiastes, Numbers actually, so we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. We got to learn how to number our days. Why? That's planning. Amen. And then number two, we got to challenge ourselves to become technologically savvy, above average. You know, we don't use typewriters anymore. You know, you write everything down and you can get you a tablet and type it in, and it'd be in four different places in the matter of seconds. Let's go above average. I've never seen so many churches so technologically behind. And it seems like we just keep the church in the stump by doing the same old thing. Well, let's make the change. And thirdly, invest in ourselves through constant educational adventures. We got to invest in ourselves, a self-investment. Versus, I'm going to put self-empowerment, but versus, you can't empower yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can empower you. But you need to invest in yourself through constant educational adventures. Learn something. Every month you should have some type of training that you ain't never took before. Every month. Read a new book. Three articles a week. You don't have to be a book, three articles. Get some e-books. Free e-books online, you know. Read some e-books. Every week, just new material. So you can be relevant in this time. And then number three in our first one, let me review right quick. The first one was translate your actions with a scripted plan. Second one was take time to learn the art of planning. Update your techniques periodically. The third one is talk to successful planners and take notes to how they do what they do best. Now, in order to do that, you got to go to people that know they are capable of teaching excellence. See, a lot of us, we don't go to the people that got it together. I go to Dr. Mills. Some people, you know, because they think you transition on that I go for different reasons. I go see people for different reasons. sometimes I go, for instance, another man of God, Dr. Mike Freeman. I like the way Dr. Mike dressed. See, I can relate a lot to Dr. Mike because he was big one time and now he's small, so he kind of motivates. Sometimes I go look at him. I say, I like the way he dressed. And I like the way his church is excellent. I go to certain people, another person, Dr. Ivy Hilliard. I love the way Dr. Ivy speaks. I probably like another person, Bishop John Cherry, Senior. I love the way he ministers. And Dr. Deanna Cherry, there is no other speaker I know in the world that can systematically get through a lesson like that lady does. I mean, she can take you from point A to Z in a matter of minutes like I've never seen anyone. I like excellence. It is just excellence. I listen to a series. I don't even agree with some of the points on the series. But I was looking with the flow of it. I said, my God. And I watch how all of them got distinctive marks of order in their lives. And I can name a lot of people like that. I mean, Bishop Oedipo is my biggest teacher. I watch him consistently in detail because I haven't seen no church, no other ministry reach the level of excellence that his ministry has. And he in Africa. Never. I've never seen a church like that. Never. Four services filled to capacity of 50,000-seat sanctuary. And they're building, and then their projects, and then their colleges, and their schools, and then their employments, and then their church development movement, and their housing adventures, and creating a middle class in a third world country. Just a whole brilliant. You got to get an environment. So part of that is taking classes and challenge yourself and investing and then going to people that know they are successful. And then successful people have certain demands that you must learn in order to get their attention. And then learning from others is a sign of humility. Learning from others is the sign of humility. Glory to God. And the fourth thing tonight, after talking to successful people and reviewing your techniques and glory to God, translating your actions to a scripted plan, you want to have technology because technology is a new key to prosperous planning. The better your technology is, the better your planning will be in this day. Some of y'all write down stuff and have stuff on sheet paper. And I ain't nothing wrong with writing. I got a lesson written on paper, but I haven't written on paper to write it in something else. You know, but we got to step up. And technology changes every 6 seconds, so you have to keep a focus of it being a tool to simplify life and not complex your life. So technology should enhance you. And I've kind of missed it sometimes, but one of the greatest investments I've made is getting a better phone. A phone that could work for me more than what I needed for a phone. And a lot of the success that we have in even communicating this broadcast is by getting an effective phone. And there are other little things that we have, too. Technology costs a great deal, but it can save a great cost. That's number two under that point. Technology may cost a great deal, but it can save a great cost. And then technology is what keeps you as a key quintessential factor to a competitive work culture. If everybody got what you have in technology, then they don't need you. And technology is a byproduct of wisdom. You start seeking God on the wisdom of God, I guarantee he's going to show you some techniques, which forms product that'll help simplify complexities in your life, and it'll transform you to greatness. Now, the fifth thing is to trust, talk, and thank God for what he can do to make you a great planner. What did I say? Trust, talk, and thank God. See, because a lot of times, if God ain't involved in your planning, you are at a great loss for a Christian. You'll be amazed at how many Christians plan without God. I'm amazed. I see a lot of events. That's in the one that where God was never involved. Think about this. God created the heavens and the earth, and he created cultures that are as diverse as the wind that exists on that same planet. He is the greatest planner we have ever seen in our lives. He has defined planning, and we don't include him in our planning. That's a problem. The Holy Spirit is the world's greatest planner. Why? Because he has the truth that we need to know in order to effectively plan. Trusting God is key to supernatural planning. And that's what I'm talking about. Some people, they want to plan the work, but they don't get God involved in the plan, but they want God to bless the plan. Okay. Oh, no. You're working against yourself. You're working against the plan because God is involved. God is the greatest planner. And certainly, talking to God consistently keeps your ears open to creative plans. Why? See, the distinctive mark in a Christian is their ability to hear and to respond to a God they cannot see with their natural eyes and hear with their natural ears. Our Christianity is defined by our hearing. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So all of the platforms come as a result of the revelation we have on the word that we hear, that we know that it's from God, whether it be written, the written word of God, so the written revelation of God's word, whether it be the perceived revelation that comes from an appreciation of the word, written word of God, or whether it comes by spoken articulation of the declaration of the word of God through men of God. All of those hinge on our ability to hear God. So we have to talk to God, we have to trust God, and we have to thank God. And that's what will transform our planet. Now, let me give you five things to remember. Challenge yourself to discipline, number one. Number two, clarify your values through your hearing God. Communicate the vision. Cancel laziness and become consistent. And then creatively insert faith. I think that's a good stopping point for this teaching on planning. This sparks the conversation. We'll come back to defining new dynamics in the future, but I want to go into some other dialogues to kind of help us through this transition, this transforming through glorious transition. This is your focus. You know, the first year in a new decade sets the mark of how we approach the next 9 years. We have to really, I believe even in this particular decade that it demands profound transitions in order to survive. It demands it. It demands it. Amen. And amen. And amen. All right. I'm excited. Well, I pray that you learned something tonight. And as the president came on before, it's imperative. I mean, we have 15,000 listeners. I want to hear from these 15,000 people. Through these downloads, and I want to hear from each and every person. And We want to interview some people, answer some questions for you. Get information about this organization. You'll find that there's very few like it in the world. We purpose to go after a profound new audience. And I believe that God is going to transform the church as we know it in this coming year. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the privilege of what you showed me first. I've not been able to articulate as clear as I want to convey the impression that I have on this necessary change for the advancement of the kingdom of God. But I thank you for the insight that I've been able to release thus far. Father, I praise you because you have given the gift of your spirit, your essence, your intellect, your inspiration. I thank you, Lord, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to commit ourselves to the transformative gospel presented to us through the life of your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that those that are business leaders in this world that don't know Jesus would come into the knowledge of your Son. That whether it be dynamic and profound revelations of Jesus Christ or drastic demonstrations of his mighty power, that they will not rest until they come into the nature of true salvation and receive the reward of the empowerment of Christ in corporate America. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word, Father, tonight. Thank you that it came in a creative format through business. But it's the same word that translates the cultures of this world. Thank you, Lord. Praise you because you placed your word above your name. And your word remains the same. Teach us, Father, even the more to trust you, to talk to you, and to thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. There's not enough words in our vernacular to praise you and to adore you and to exalt you because of what you're doing in our lives. We cannot say thank you enough. Help us, Lord. Praise you. You're worthy. And so, Father, tonight, I pray as we go into a new era of ministry and a new month in 2 days, as we transition this year, our focus as believers in faith will translate our future into your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. This is the Bob Real and founder of Urban Lord Campaign. It's host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Join me on Tuesday. We're going back into ministry. We talked about clearly submitted. There's another lesson in that teaching. And then we're going to go into a new series. We're going to begin a new series this Tuesday. Amen. God bless you and good night.